What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Double Tap. This is episode 4, February 8th, and I am Dave. Also with me, as always, is my boy,
Tony. And if you're watching us on YouTube right now, you can tell right now you're not seeing our beautiful faces as you usually want to. You're going to be watching our gameplay from last night of Dying Light. We couldn't get together. You know, we're busy people. We work full-time jobs, have a family. So we're recording over Skype right now, and we're just going to put this over our gameplay. So hopefully you guys like it. Let us know if you like watching our gameplay or if you want us to try other things. I mean, you know what I mean. Not those kind of things.
Just in case you're wondering.
Keep it PG.
just in case you're wondering from watching the gameplay why the character is moving so frailly and he's not really that skilled. That's because it's from Tony's point of view, not mine. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah. We all know Dave's more talented than I am, but we'll just leave that at that.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far. I'm just saying my thumbs are sexier, and I have abs on my thumbs. That's all I got to say.
That's pretty good. Speaking of your thumbs, what games have you been playing with those thumbs?
Yeah, so I've been playing Apotheon on top of Dying Light, and it is actually pretty fun. It's a 2D side-scrolling hack-and-slash kind of adventure. You are a Greek soldier, I'm guessing. I really didn't get a whole lot of time with it. But you are side-scrolling through the hack-and-slash world of Apotheon, where you get tons of gear, tons of weapons. Anybody who's familiar with a loot-hunting type game will be somewhat comfortable with this. The artwork is kind of an old style of Greek mythological urns. I don't know if you're familiar, but if you Google like Greek mythology or Greek urns or... You know, things along that line. You should be able to see the kind of art style. If anybody's ever
like
seen
the hieroglyphics or whatever it's called.
Hieroglyphics.
Yeah, see, I couldn't say it either. You're right.
Hieroglyphics are more of a thing. But if you've ever seen the Disney movie Hercules, if you look at the urns in that movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So that's the kind of art style that's going on there. Not a whole lot that's really like popping to the eye, but it's really interesting to see where the colors do pop and where they don't blend very, very well. That was one of the things I was playing other than Dying Light, like I said. But the other thing that I was toying around with was the Be the Zombie mode in Dying Light.
Spider zombies?
I think they're actually called Night Hunters.
Night Hunters.
But yeah, it's more like a venomized zombie type where you get these tendrils you traverse the map with to hunt the other humans down. At the beginning of the mode, you actually get a tutorial level to get familiar with the controls. They don't just throw you right into a match with random players or whatever. You could actually invade your own friends, so that's kind of fun. But the only thing is you do get notified within the game when you're about to be invaded.
Oh, and good.
There's actually like a loading screen because what it does is it automatically takes you to the night. It automatically fast forwards time or whatever to a nighttime setting. So that way.
So you can only be in there at nighttime.
Yes, but you can be invaded anytime. If you have.
And it'll just fast forward the game to nighttime
exactly.
Then.
Exactly. It'll automatically prompt a loading screen that'll take you to the night. And that's where you begin. It was a lot of fun. The match I played versus my friends came down to the wire. I literally won by one point or one kill, however you want to word it. But it was still a lot of fun. I look forward to getting back into it a lot more. But for right now, I believe both of us have some campaigning to finish.
Oh, absolutely.
I know you've been super busy with your job, and I know I haven't had a whole lot of time because other people on my friends list have been questing help getting through this, getting through that. And I just haven't really got a chance to go through the campaign. So,
and I know we've had some issues trying to get that trophy where you have the same squad for getting 5 missions complete because for some reason we keep getting kicked out. I think I have a fix. I want to try something. When we play, we go through and do 5 missions, but we don't turn them in until we get 5 completed. And before we get ready to turn them in, you know, because sometimes if you guys aren't familiar, if you might have the same issues we're having. We'll go through and we'll be 3 or 4 missions deep and then someone will get kicked out of the lobby. Some sort of connection issue will happen. You know, it's got to be something with the servers because we don't get kicked out of the party chat. We'll still be in party chat just fine. And it's just in the game that they get disconnected from our in-game lobby. Yeah. So then we lose progress and you got to restart over. So I think if we can get the Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. But
No, you're fine.
I think if we get the missions complete up to the point where you just go turn them in and get five of those ready to turn in, and then just make sure that we're not going to get disconnected or wait till something happens and all team up together and then go turn all five in right away. Maybe, hopefully, then it'll pop. I don't know if you had to start the mission together and then finish them together or how that will work, but I'm hoping that'll get that trophy to pop.
It's actually not a bad idea. I actually was thinking about that the other night of how we can try to find a way to kind of find a loophole within the system that's already kind of partially broken. But that more on that on our later topic, because I know you, sir, have a couple of things that you would like to go over. But before we do that, what are you playing?
Rogue Legacy on PlayStation Vita. I put about, in the few days that I've downloaded it, I've played a good 10 hours of it. You know, I've died several. I mean, that game is really hard to play. I mean, not hard to play. I mean, it's hard to beat. You die a lot, and it's really fun because each time you die, you choose your heir. And each one has a trait, and, you know, like we were talking before, there's so many different traits. They can be dyslexic, so everything you reads backwards, or where they walk they'll walk upside down, or everything will be upside down for you. There's so many different things. It makes it pretty neat, and then many upgrades you can get, but every time you die, you keep your money, but you have to spend your money before you go back in the castle, because there's like a death waiting for you, or a Grim Reaper, or whoever it is, but he takes all your money when you go back in the castle. So you want to spend all your castles on upgrades, but those stay. But the second you go back in the castle, all your stuff's gone.
Man, have you yet came across a descendant that was mentally handicapped?
Not yet. I've had some demented ones that were, it said you're insane. I've had some that were gay. It says that you're a fan of the ladies or a fan of the man. And I haven't really seen what that does. I don't know if you do more damage towards the opposite sex or if you do less damage.
Maybe you do more damage toward the same sex rectum.
Maybe. But, you know, I just thought that was kind of weird. The colorblind, there's one nostalgic. You're nostalgic and it makes the screen look old school, which is pretty cool. Nice. Tunnel vision, nearsighted, all the stuff around you just blurred out. It's pretty neat. Clumsy, there's one clumsy. You break every item you walk into, which is nice. It's actually a good one to have because you want to break items to get gold, so you don't even have to attack it. It'll just break for you just walking past it. So
it is kind of like the old school Super Ghouls and Ghosts or Super Ghouls and Goblins.
Yeah, I don't remember playing that one. I know I have it somewhere around here, but I gotta get back into it and see if I can maybe rekindle some gameplay there so I can get better at this Rogue Legacy because I'm horrible.
See, and that was the thing with Super Ghouls and Ghosts, which I believe was the second one. That's the one I remember the most. It was really kind of difficult. There was a lot of platforming. There was a lot of platforming while fighting. And you had a bevy of monsters and demons that would come at you at any given time while you're midair trying to go from one platform to the other that would just knock your ass back or knock you to a pit where you die and lose everything. You have to start all over again. Except you don't get any tunnel vision kids or mentally incapable kids or anything like that.
Right.
But I think the mental incapabilities were on the player's part on that game. So.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm already at a disadvantage. I don't need any extras.
Exactly. That's why I don't drink, kids, because I'm already partially there.
Yeah, I'm always partially there, Dave. But let's go ahead and hop into the news. One of the articles I want to talk about from this week, Sony Online Entertainment was sold from Sony to Columbia Nova, and they are rebranding it Daybreak Gaming. They're going to keep all the games in development. They're not canceling anything as of right now, and they do plan on expanding to multi-platforms. So, I mean, it's good news. I don't see it as bad news for anybody. I think, you know, if you're a gamer, expanding is a good thing. To be on multiple platforms is a good thing.
But that doesn't mean that our first-party exclusives from Sony are going to be carried on to any other platforms other than Sony.
Right, exactly. I mean, Sony Online Entertainment doesn't have any really first-party rights to any of the franchises you care about, really.
Yeah, they're not to be confused with, like, Sony Santa Monica, who is responsible for God of War, or Naughty Dog, who does exclusives for Sony, obviously Last of Us and Uncharted. So those aren't going anywhere.
Right. They're just going to make really good movies out of those.
But if you, that's true.
We hope really good movies.
We hope to do way better than any of the Resident Evils or Street Fighter.
Fighter, the movie, the game.
Yeah, that's a sore subject. I don't want to go there. Anywho, yes, that is actually pretty decent news considering that, you know, like you said, the DC Universe Online, who has been on Sony and PC for free now, is moving over finally to the Xbox. And all you Microsoft fans out there will finally be able to don your tights and run around in the world of DC and jump higher.
It's
than
a great game. I don't know if you've played it, Dave, but it's really fun. It's addicting. If you like comic books, I think you'll like DC Universe Online.
I tried getting into it, but I think I'm holding out for something along the same lines on that kind of gameplay in the Marvel Universe.
Okay, gotcha. So Marvel 2015, that's on PC, you would probably like. It's a Diablo-esque game, MMO style.
See, I'm not a PC gamer, so I've never heard of that. But if that's the case, I might have to start thinking about getting one.
Yeah, when we kick it like karate over here next time, we'll have to play on there. So I'll show you some PC gaming, Dave. We'll get you turned into a multi-platform gamer instead of a Sony fanboy.
Nah, that's not.
There's nothing wrong with, you know, dabbling in a little bit of everything.
Right, nothing wrong with it at all.
I mean, you obviously got Sony mastered. Now let's just dip you in a little bit of PC, a little bit of Xbox, a little bit of Sega Dreamcast. I mean, we'll get you around the block.
Hold on, buddy. I had a Sega Dreamcast before Sega Dreamcast had Sega Dreamcast.
Right, and this was before they realized, oh, we have a problem here. They can pirate our games really good.
Which was one of the reasons I enjoyed it. But no, there's nothing wrong with cross-platforming at all. I highly encourage it. Me, I don't have the time or the money at this point in my life to do it the way that I would like to do it. You know, I can't go out and get graphics cards or what have you to get the best experience that I can. Whereas if I focus all my attention on one system, Sony, I can get the best headset that I want or the controllers that I would love to grab. Not modded, mind you, because I'm not a douche like that. But, you know, if I want to grab that camo-colored controller, I'll just go and grab it.
Speaking of go out and grabbing things, Dave, let's talk about games that are coming out next week. And we'll go ahead and start with the biggest game coming out next week, Evolve. It's coming out on the 10th for your Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and the PC. From your guys at Turtle Rock Studios. And if you're not familiar with this game, it's four human players versus one monster. Everybody's a controlled player. And I think now, I heard something along the line that they do have a single player mode. I'm not 100% sure on that. I was listening to one of the podcasts, many podcasts I listen to, and I want to say someone mentioned it, and so I never did any research into that, if it's true or not. But I'd be kind of curious to see how they do that, if it's true.
I think I remember hearing something also about where if you tried to get into a public match as one of the hunters, the human characters, you would actually be paired with AI characters if the server could not find any characters for you.
Oh, so you get bot controlled or whatever.
Exactly, which also kind of makes the match unbalanced because the monster player is so overpowered that it is basically just one-on-one where one of the players is on steroids and the other is just shooting a pea gun at you.
Yeah, I don't know. I was hyped for this game when it first was announced, and I got to say, a lot of negative press or whatever came from the alpha and then the beta. Never really heard a lot of positive things come out about it. Then they had the big stink with the DLC. You know, because they were the ones that were going to charge $15 for one monster and the game's not even out yet. How are you going to talk about DLC when the game's not released? Which right. I understand they mentioned, well, you know, the game's got to go for cert, and when it's in cert, we're kind of in downtime, so that's when we work on the DLC. I'm okay with that, but don't mention it before the game comes out, because then, you know, a lot of people are going to think that you're stiffing us, you know, you're basically
telling us, here's the game that you paid for. By the way, we have stuff that's ready for it, and we're going to charge you extra on top of it.
Right, and they do the day one patch. I mean, every time you download a game, you do a day one patch right away anyway. So,
yeah, you know, I was never...
if you add extra DLC while it's insert, just include it with the day one patch. Make it in your full price of the game and not charge another $15 for one monster. That's ridiculous.
Agreed. You know, I was never really very hyped up for this game from the get-go because the concept of it was not very appealing to me. The four-on-one's okay and what have you, but whenever I look at a new IP, I try to think about the longevity of the game and the replayability of how much I think I could get back into it, what could possibly draw me back in. And with so far, the idea of a $15 character, just a single character, being one of the quote-unquote high points of the game, I'm not being compelled to pick it up.
Yeah, I totally agree. So let's not give it any more time. I'm going to go into the next game coming out.
Let's evolve.
Yeah, right? The next game on the list here, I'm looking at IGN's upcoming games for next week. And this one is The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask on the 3DS.
One of my personal favorites.
And don't tell anybody, but I don't remember this game. I played it a little bit on the 64, and I know I didn't put very much time into it. So
you, sir, have hurt me on a personal level.
And I was just, there was about 6 months ago, I was like, I don't remember a lot of the Zelda games. So I started going back and beating them. And I was just on the SNES one. Is it A Link to the Past or that one? And I got to the part where it switches to the Dark World or whatever.
Right.
And then I stopped playing. I don't remember how that one ends either. So
that was also another good one.
I need to get back into them.
Majora's Mask, some of the gameplay mechanics were really good back then on the 64, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do on a system like the 3DS. I have no idea how they transition between changing masks on Link and making the abilities, you know, flow are going to work. But back then when they were on the 64, it was really a neat concept to have this regular character who would change his entire skill set based upon which mask he was wearing. And it was for me, it was kind of revolutionary back then because Link was your character and he could change entirely depending on what you equip him with. His entire physiology changed, all of his skills, like being able to breathe underwater or being able to pick up heavy objects or being able to look like a rejected Pinocchio doll. All that stuff was really neat back then because when you're a kid, it definitely heightened your imagination because as you're playing, I don't know about anybody else, but I was like, man, I wonder if there's going to be like a lava mask he can wear where he could turn into a fire-breathing lava monster or just something random like that. So I think that game had a lot of potential even back then, and the fact that they're remaking it for a generation now on the 3DS, I mean, any Zelda game in 3D is going to be amazing in my opinion, even if it's with outdated graphics, because that game was just so much fun and it was so neat to see how the time, I guess it's kind of time travel because you had the whole moon, the impending doom of the moon with the giant ugly face coming down, and you had to make sure that you
I do remember this one now.
So you had to find the Skull Kid. You had like 3 days to get Skull Kid and to get him to stop doing what he was doing, and it was kind of like time travel because there are parts where even I don't remember, but I don't remember how you got the time to change to reverse time. I want to say it had to do something with the Ocarina.
Yeah.
Because you do have the Ocarina in this game as well. And I don't remember how you affect the change of time with the moon or what have you. All I remember is that it did flow very nicely. You did have that sense of urgency to get what you need to get done within the game. And any Zelda game that's going to be on a 3D system, there's no reason to not play it. Go get it. It's a great game, especially for anyone who's never played the old school 64 Zeldas, which if you are over 20, you have no reason not to have played them. So go get it. Put it in your 3DS. Play it on the crapper. Take it with you at work. Play it while you're banging your girl. I don't care where you play. Just play the crap out of it.
That's talent right there, I'll tell you what.
Multi-talent. You should get a trophy for that. What an achievement.
Right? I don't know what Nintendo's does for, you know, in-game accomplishments, but
they give likes or thumbs ups.
Oh, okay, good stuff. Anyways, let's just keep going with what other games are coming out.
What do you got? For
3DS, there's Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate.
And never played them.
Yeah, I've never played them either. I think my son has it for the Wii U, like Monster Hunter 3 or some other.
The only Monster Hunter in my mind is Pokemon. That's about it.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that's the original one, right?
The OG Monster Hunter.
Right. And then another game for the 3DS, Ace Combat Assault Horizon Legacy Plus. Mm. No clue what that game is. I'm assuming it's a helicopter shooter style thing, maybe.
I believe it's any kind of like air combat. But the only thing is, anytime you have a game where the title is longer than three or four words, it's probably no go. I'm just saying Houston might have a problem.
Right.
And it's just, man, I don't know. Just any of those Ace Combat games have never touched my hands. I've seen other people play them. It seems fun if you're into flight simulators or dogfighting in the air, that kind of thing. But I'm just not that kind of guy. So I will not be picking it up. That's just me.
Yeah, sounds good. And then for the Wii U Virtual Console, the Breath of Fire, or just Breath of Fire, there's no the Breath of Fire for the Virtual Console. It's a SNES classic. Another game I've never played. Shame on me. I need to get to it. I'll probably grab it on the Wii U and try it out.
I know not too long ago they had a sale on the Virtual Console for all the Metroid Prime games for the Wii U, and that sounded like a pretty good deal because I want to say it was either all three of the games for $20 or all three of the games 20% off. I'm not 100% sure, so you don't quote me on that. You could Google it if you want. But if any of you ever played the Metroid Prime games when they first released, they were pretty good, and it was a nice breath of fresh air for the series.
Yep, I never played them.
Me neither.
And we'll just keep with the handhelds. For the Vita, there's a game called Jumble, Rumble, Freedom, Happiness, and Bananas. Not sure what this game is, and I probably won't get it.
Again, more than four words, you're done with my book.
It's a rhythm action game, Jumble Rumble, a rival that invades to steal your bananas.
Oh, okay. It's a rhythm-based game. Why didn't you say it was a game I didn't care about, dude? You should have said that from the beginning.
Yeah, so another game I won't get. And then we'll just go ahead and mention the last game, which already came out last week. I believe we mentioned it for Unmechanical Extended for the Xbox One. Now it's coming to the PlayStation 4. And that was the 2D platformer. You're playing a helicopter puzzle platformer. Okay, small indie style game. Comes out on the 10th.
If you're playing as a helicopter and you're not a transformer, I'm probably not interested.
Yeah, I don't think you're a transformer in this one. A license, you know, issue there.
Mm.
So I don't think that's going to happen. And that's going to do it for games that, I mean, there's plenty of PC games that come out. I mean, there's so many games that come out on Steam every week. So we're not going to go into PC games unless they're big titles like Evolve. And we mentioned that already. So we'll just go from there. And let's go ahead and we're going to try and wrap up the show. We're just going to give you our synopsis of Dying Light so far. It's going to be our last mention of our review. We haven't finished the game yet, but we'll go ahead and give you what we think of the game as it stands right now. We'll give it like our second look at it, I guess. You want to call it that, Dave? Or
yeah, I think that anything that is significant that'll happen to it in the immediate future we'll probably touch base upon. But as of right now, as the product that came out, it is solid. The only issues I want to say I can speak for the both of us that we've had is connectivity, trophy glitches, and I feel like that's about probably the only thing, but those are kind of a couple of big things.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, trophies is a big thing nowadays. I mean, I like trophies as one of the things that keeps me replaying games. I think it was a good installment, you know, last generation into gaming. You really didn't have it before, like with the original Xbox and the PlayStation 2. You didn't have any kind of system unless it was already built into the games you were playing. And with trophies and achievement, it's, you know, anyone can look at your trophies and achievements now. And it's kind of nice to have that and for your game not to work properly or for the trophies not to pop properly when you earned them and not show up. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I like the introduction of the trophy / achievements because it gave you a reason to do literally everything that there is to do within the games. You know, so like when you had your games like Grand Theft Auto 3 and other ones that came out for the PS2 or older systems, when you got done beating the core of the game, you were pretty much done. And the developers may or may not have had so many more things for you to try, but as the core gamer, you really didn't care too much past getting past the story, especially back then where there was almost no multiplayer. So for them to introduce the trophies slash achievements, that was a really cool move, especially in my book. I am a low-level trophy whore. I like to get trophies for games that I enjoy playing for, you know, multiple hours. I think I have like a 19 or 20 trophy level right now on the PlayStation Network. I have like over 20 some platinums, but I've played I don't even know how many games. Dying Light though is one that I would love to platinum if the damn game would let me platinum it. For example, there's a trophy right now that exists that where if you save 15 human survivors from Rise, who is the antagonist, I guess you would say, of the game. He has his men go out throughout the city and just do random bullshit. And one of the things that they do is harass other survivors that are just roaming throughout the city. If you save 15 of these survivors, you get a trophy. And I have saved like 18 of these bastards, and the trophy is still not showing up. That's number one for me. Number two, the connectivity for another trophy, actually, that you and I have been working on.
Right.
And I'll go ahead and let you explain that, because that one just frustrates the hell out of me.
Yeah, so this one you have to be with the same squad. You have to have a full squad of four, and everyone has to do the mission. You got to do 5 missions together in order for this trophy to pop. And what happens usually, we'll get 3 or 4 missions deep, and someone will get disconnected from the game. And we're all in a private chat, and we don't have any issues in the chat. We don't get completely disconnected, but they get kicked out of the game. And once that happens, they'll join back up, and then it restarts the mission counter. Well, I mean, there's no actual counter on the screen, but then we have to restart. We'll turn another mission in. That'll give us 5. And even though they were with us for the first 4, it still doesn't count. And it'll happen again. We'll get 3 or 4 in, and they'll get disconnected. And so it's really frustrating, you know, with their servers. And it's just on that game. I mean, we've played other games together and not had any issues. So it's something I'm sure they'll release a patch for. It's just frustrating that it's not working right now. I mean, these are minor issues, but it's still an issue that needs to be addressed.
It's ironic that you mentioned the patch, because they've already released a patch for some of the quote-unquote connectivity issues that really hasn't seemed to fix anything. And as a matter of fact, I've had a few friends who has had more issues with trophies and things within the game. Number one example, in each tier of your leveling system, you have there are 3 different tiers of leveling within the game. You have your power level, your agility, and what was the third one, Tony? Survivor?
Yeah, survivor.
Yeah, your survivor level, which every tier unlocks different abilities. I have a friend right now who was literally 1,000 points away from maxing out his survivor rank, and the game will just not allow him to cap that 1,000 points. He'll do everything in the book you can think of, getting points for everything, and it just will not push him over that last 1,000 points. So if any of you out there is experiencing this, you're not alone. You're not the only ones. This is going on everywhere. And with the connectivity thing, I actually want to give a shout out to one of my pals who is a friend of mine in real life and on the game, Ray's Hell, a.k.a. Fletcher. I won't give his last name for, you know, privacy purposes. But he showed me a couple of things within the game that helped me throughout my adventure in Dying Light. Like, he showed me where to find Excalibur. He showed me where to find the Destiny Loot Cave Easter egg. He also showed me the Super Mario level Easter egg. And he has had a lot of connectivity issues. Him and I were only able to play a session of 2 hours without any interruptions once. And ever since then, he's tried to join on any other friend or other people and just cannot connect. And it's a bummer because all of us that are trying to go for the same trophies are basically being denied due to poor server connectivity. So it just kind of sucks because it's such a great game. But there's a problem when you try to play with your friends and you can't, especially for long periods of time.
And, you know, we know it's not our NAT. And a lot of people will say, well, you might have your NAT closed and not open. And nope. That's not the case. You know, everybody has everything the correct way. And I almost wonder if this game uses different ports than what the actual Sony ports use and all that, which is, you know, way in too deep for most people. But I'm wondering if that's what the case is. And then maybe on each individual router, certain ports are closed when they should be open. And that's where the conflict's coming. But I would assume it's going to be something that they can fix in a patch. So,
yeah, in either case,
eventually it's going to be fixed, I would assume.
In either case, that's something that Techland needs to fix on their own. Because us as the typical basic gamer, that should not be something that we should have to worry about, especially if we're paying for high-speed internet and we're still not connecting to all of our friends.
And it's just with the Dying Light game that we're having the issue. I mean, our chat parties are still staying connected, and then mm-hmm. I know when you guys play Destiny, you guys stay connected just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of when they patch it or when they fix it.
Other than that, graphics are amazing. The gameplay itself is fun as hell, parkouring all over the place and decapitating zombies and severing limbs here and there, and the different moves and skill sets you get to unlock, plus including the vast array of Easter eggs that are within the game. Like, there is more today that I just found out about, like the Last of Us Easter egg that's in there, and the Plants vs. Zombie Easter egg that's in there, and who knows what the hell else is in there. So it's a very, very good game, save for the glitches and errors with the trophies and connectivity.
Yeah, I really like the game. I think it was well worth the money if you bought it brand new on release day. It was definitely worth the $60, I'm assuming, is what everybody paid. There's tons of gameplay. I haven't had a game that's really pulled me in this much since, like, Diablo 3. I mean, Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls, I'd be at work and be like, man, I really can't wait to go home and play mm-hmm. this game. It was a game that I'd play with my wife, and Diablo 3, we'd play that all the time. Right. My wife wants to play this game, but we don't have two separate PS4s, so.
Right. Hey, I'll play with your wife.
Right? I bet you will. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's the fact that it does co-op really well, besides the connection issues. But the actual in-game, doing the missions and everything, the fast travel is kind of nice when, you know, someone's far away from the waypoint, that they can fast travel to you so you don't have to wait for them to get to where you're at. That makes it nice.
Yeah, when you are playing co-op, when it works, it works. I mean, it's seamless. Your friends and you can trade items between each other. You can help each other out. A lot of my friends that are on my list, they like to help people boost their power levels or their, you know, their agility levels or what have you. There's these drops that'll come out of the sky from planes where they have packages for you to pick up. And when you turn them into your quartermaster, the quartermaster will give you tons of XP for them. Well, I have people who have been going back through and collecting as many drops as they can, and they've been syncing up with their friends and giving them all their packages and leveling them up within minutes. So it's great that they have a system like that where you can trade items and money. You can actually drop $10,000 at a time and just give it to your friends. And this is something that I wish they would have included in Destiny, although I feel like the reason they did it in Destiny is because it would have made it way too easy.
Right, it probably would have broke the game. Things. Yeah.
But I mean, when you have somebody who's collected several versions of a gun that you just cannot get, why not let them get at least one? You know, why not implement a system where, hey, I recognize that you don't have this exotic weapon, but your friend has like 6 fucking copies of this gun? Let's give your friend one exotic and be able to get one exotic, like, let's say even per month. If you can just give a pal one exotic per month or accept one exotic from another player, that would be so much better than having to go out and grind every single day or every other week when the refresh hits and hoping you get that one particular gun that you've been trying to get ever since the game dropped. So where the buddy system is included in Dying Light, I think they did it very well, but the only problem is being able to stay connected long enough to your buddy to actually get anything and keep it. Because I've tried giving things to several of my friends, and as soon as they get kicked out, it didn't save, so I just dropped things that was worth a lot of money or was a really good weapon that I was saving particularly for them, and it just disappears into the ether because they get booted out of the game and they never even get to use it.
Yeah, that so makes it very frustrating.
But overall, everything else, I would definitely say I feel like you and I have a pretty good system of rating these games. From now on, we'll probably be grading it on a buy, rent, or pass system, correct?
Right, right. Whether so, you want to buy used, new, however you know, we all understand that not everybody can afford buying new games every week, every month, or whatever the case may be. And we didn't want to get into spoiler territories on this game because it's, so far I've enjoyed the story and I haven't beat the game yet. So, and from what I've played, I think the game is a buy. You know, I would definitely buy the game.
I would definitely say it's a buy.
I've got a good 25, 30 hours into it already. So.
I've probably got about 60 or 70.
Oh, geez. And, you know, I've restarted several times. Not necessarily restarted the story, but I've gone back and helped, you know, my brother. He just picked it up, so I've helped him catch up to the story where I'm at. But I've taken my, you know, you can take your character into someone else's game and help them get caught up to your mission, and you level up as well.
Yeah, if any of you are out there going, oh, you got 60 or 70 hours, but you've never beaten the campaign, well, it's because of that. I've gone back with other people and done side missions galore, and there's trophies for doing all kinds of things that require just grinding to do them. Like, for instance, there's a trophy for literally climbing the same distance that it takes to climb Mount Everest. Jeez. So it takes forever to get that done, and even with all that time that I've spent, I still haven't gotten that trophy, but I think it's probably because you brought up a good point with this. I feel like you can't use your grappling hook or slash, you know, zip line, whatever you want to call it, to be a part of the climbing process.
Right.
You actually have to literally climb, parkour climb, a total distance of whatever, however many thousands of meters,
like,
or whatever.
8,842 or something along those lines.
It's Mount Everest, for Christ's sake, okay?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that trophy I still haven't even gotten yet, but there's a lot you can do, and you can still have a ton of fun bashing the crap out of zombies, drop kicking them off of highways, rooftops, whatever. It's just a lot of fun. Yeah, I would definitely buy it as well. I have, but suggesting any of you that haven't tried it or picked it up, go ahead and buy it, even if you wait, you know, for someone to turn it in at your local GameStop so you can get $5 off of it. Whatever you got to do, because like Tony said, we are very understanding and understand that not everybody can pick up games when they want to. Hell, I'm not even 100% sure I'll be able to pick up the order when I want to, but I'm definitely going to be picking it up. But this game, as far as I want to say I can speak for the both of us is concerned, it's definitely a buy.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. It's worth the money. I would love to do a spoiler cast on this when we finish the story, maybe as an extra episode or some filler sometime when we both beat the game. I would love to get in the spoiler and talk story sometime. I think that'd be a good episode.
Speaking of the story, too, I don't know why I've never mentioned this before, or if I did, I forgot that I have. But for any of you who like a good story along with a open world kind of game like this, the actor, the voice actor, and I forgive me for the name escaping me, but I can give you credentials. Craig
Smith? Something like that. It's Craig something.
Kind of generic. I don't even remember. But he is the guy who voiced Ezio for the Assassin's Creed series. And if you're a watcher of cartoons, especially Marvel-based cartoons, he does the voice of Captain America for the Marvel's Avengers TV show. So if you ever wanted to know, maybe if you have been playing a game, you're like, man, this guy sounds very familiar. It's because that's who he is. He did the voice of Ezio and Captain America. Roger Craig Smith. There you go. And he's very good. I like the character, and it's actually a pretty compelling story, to be honest with you. I mean, it's nowhere near Last of Us quality by any means, but it's way better than what Dead Island was, in my opinion.
Yeah, I never beat Dead Island. I got pretty far into it, but I mean, back to Dying Light. Dying Light, I love the story so far. Like we said, definitely go out there, buy it, give it a try. I don't know. Do they have a demo? Can you download a demo on the network for that?
So.
No? Okay.
I don't think so, but I'm about 90% positive it's on the Redbox.
Oh, I don't know if Redbox has PS4 and Xbox One games yet.
They sure do.
Oh, okay, cool. I don't know if they had upgraded to the new generation yet. Well, there you have it. Give it a try there. If not, I know that we still got some family videos around where we live, so hopefully you guys still have that I call it a luxury. I mean, it is a luxury. Some human interaction is good sometimes. I know me and my brother went out yesterday to pick the game up for him, and they were all sold out at the local Walmart here, which I hate going to Walmart. But that's a whole different story. So we ended up going to another store and finding it there. So, I mean, the game is selling really well. A lot of people must be liking it because I haven't seen it used anywhere yet. So that's a good sign. I'm hoping to get some good DLC. Obviously, you know, they promised 3 free DLC packs to the countries where they had to delay the physical release. So we know some DLC is coming. Was it 2? Okay, I thought it was 3.
Just the 2. Yeah, it was the, I can't remember the names, but I know for sure it was just 2 different packs that they were giving away for free for those.
Oh, and the Be a Zombie mode was free for everyone. Okay, yeah, that's exactly what it was.
But they weren't counting that because now total, I believe there's going to be 4 DLC drops. There's either 3 or 4. For sure there's 3, but I thought there was a 4th that someone had mentioned to me a little while back. But either way, I'm kind of excited to see what the DLC drop is going to be. Hopefully there's more story-based mission stuff that'll go with it. If not, either way, it still ought to be pretty fun. I might just go ahead and get the season pass, but that might have to wait because...
The Order.
A couple of weeks, The Order. Yep. Right. And that's the one, that's another one that I'm really excited for, even though it's a single-player story. Santa Monica's behind that one, too.
Ready at Dawn.
I'm sorry?
Ready at Dawn.
Oh, that's right. Ready at Dawn. My apologies. Yeah, no, Ready at Dawn's behind this one, and they have done great work in the past as well. And it is a Sony exclusive, so can't wait to get my grubby little hands on it.
Hell yeah, I can't wait either. I mean, I was excited to see that one at the E3, what was it, 2 years ago, I think, I seen it. Yeah, because they showed it before the PlayStation 4 was even out. I want to say that was supposed to be a PlayStation 4 launch game, was it not?
Yeah, they made it seem like it was going to be a launch title. But when it comes to games like this, especially Sony exclusives, I actually prefer them to take their time.
Oh, absolutely. I'd rather have it come out working and everything. But I want to say that at least it was shown in the launch window, like assuming it was going to come out then. But I'm glad that they're at least not going to ship a game half-assed, that they're actually going to work on it and make it good quality, we hope.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, Ready at Dawn, though, just in case anybody was wondering what else they have done, they are actually a subsidiary of Naughty Dog, and they did games for Daxter, or they actually did the game Daxter. They did the PSP game God of War Chains of Olympus. They did the Wii port for Okami, which was another great PlayStation game. Tony, you're an Xbox gamer as well. Did that ever come out on the Xbox system?
I do not know.
Okay.
Not a game I've played.
Either way, it was a great game, Okami. And they have also done God of War Ghost of Sparta. So they have pretty good credentials behind them. They're, like I said, probably just a Sony exclusive company from what I've seen so far. And when they released The Order, or when they released the trailers for The Order, I was really excited because the graphics were being bragged about as in-game graphics, not cinematic graphics. So it got me really hyped because I really can't wait to see how much power of the PS4 they're going to push behind this. And I'm excited. I can't say any more good things about it because I'm just excited.
Right, and hopefully it lives up to the expectation. I know a lot of times with games that you're super, you know, expecting to do good, sometimes you get let down by them, so I try not to build up my expectations. I think that's why Dying Light is really hitting home with me right now, because I really, you know, I was looking forward to it, but I didn't have high hopes for it. I wasn't, you know, I didn't want to be expecting, you know, Last of Us type quality with it.
Right, yeah, it's one of those things where, like, kind of like you said, where it's hyped up and your expectations get, you know, really, really high. And then when you actually play the game, it's subpar, kind of looking at Haze way back on the PS3 in the early days. You remember that junk game?
I can picture the box cover, and I never played it. And I want to say it was due to reviews.
It was horrible. Everybody was, this could be the Halo killer. First of all, there's probably never going to be a Halo killer.
I think Halo's going to kill itself if they keep releasing it like they did Master Chief Collection.
Yeah, they might just fashion their own noose and put a shield around it and put Chief's neck right through it. But that game, there was a lot of hype for it, and when it finally came out, it was like, this is not even close. He is so garbage. But yeah, Dying Light, though, met every one of my expectations. I was overhyped for it, especially when they said, oh, it's better graphics than Dead Island, more maneuverability than Dead Island, and it's a shit ton of zombies. I was like, hey, number one, I'm all about killing zombies, watching zombies die, anything.
Right. But
parkouring on top of it, me personally, I probably couldn't parkour myself out of a paper bag unless it was a really, really, really big paper bag. But I like the idea of being able to parkour and parkour properly. And the fact that they brought David Bell in to do the directing was amazing to me. And once I found that out, I was like, you know what? I'm already sold. My expectations are going to be high. And if they're not met, I'll probably never be that way again as far as being excited for a game. But I was pleasantly surprised. And I know a lot of people were probably not expecting it to be as good as it is, but thankfully it is.
So with that being said, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. Thank you for listening and downloading. If you're watching us on YouTube, please subscribe to us in iTunes. We are under Double Tap there as well. Follow us on YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, you can reach my channel at Tony the Gamer Guy. You can reach Dave's channel at Goku Orta 5. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Tony the Gamer Guy. Dave's at Deadpool Orta. Right now I'm working on some tutorial videos for Dying Light. I got a few out there for some of the side missions. And then the side missions, I do give you a couple of note and zombie statue locations, which are some of the collectible items in Dying Light. So please go to my channel, check those out. Check out Dave's channel. He's got some cool bottle rocket zombie video, which is amazing. And the trampoline zombie is funny. Go check those videos out, please. Those are amazing.
Yep.
Dave, you got anything else you're working on?
Yeah, I'm also working on a zombie kill compilation. Some of my greatest hits. Might be a couple of my misses on there just because they're hilarious. And that's going to be put together here probably within the next day or so because I just have so much footage to go over. But that will probably be on YouTube as well. So just like Tony said, look for me at Goku Orta 5, which is also my PSN handle. So if you ever want to roll around the town with me of Haran, kill some zombies, do whatever on Destiny, send me up. I might accept you. I might not. Either way, I'll still love you.
Right. And if you want to add me as a friend as well, I'm Big Ton 5, BigTon, the number 5. Well, thank you for spending your time with us on this episode. And tune in next week. As always, I'm Tony.
Now I'm Dave. And always remember, the graphics are better outside.
And you don't need HD glasses.
Peace out.
Peace.